Thanks for flying Southwest, and we hope to see you back real soon.
Very, very, very happy that the best sport in the world is back in season.
Feels good every time. Every spin, I screamed louder.
Brian, I know we're all football guys and football guys, guys.
But yeah, I'm a football guy.
Jordan dropped Marcus last week, so.
Oh, God, Jordan!
I have a lot to say about this.
So this is the best time of the year for us.
Psych!
Oh, and welcome to week 9 of the Semi-Pro Ducks Fantasy Football Podcast. It's a special Halloween lunchtime episode. Candidly, I tried to find an AI tool that would allow me to do upload text to and have a ghost voice read that, but that's my attempt at it instead. We'll go with the fact that I'll pretend like it's because I'm anti-AI, but it's honestly because I didn't want to spend more than 10 minutes Googling how to sign up for one of those AI voice tools. So, yeah, happy Halloween. Once again, the overlords in charge of the Semi-Pro Fantasy Football Podcast have failed to properly communicate and set up a pod this week. I think everybody loved Rick's Lunchtime Podcast last week, so I figured I would take a shot at it. And yeah, I think we got a fun lunchtime episode in store, a special Halloween edition, a few things. I think in years past, we've spent so much time talking about Halloween candy. Going to be a little bit harder for me to do that without being able to debate. Is the volume working here? There we go. Without being able to debate somebody else on the pod. So I guess I'll just drop a few Halloween candy takes. Was recently having the argument with a group of friends about whether Twizzlers or Red Vines are better. I'm team Red Vine at the movies. I mean, I'm a black licorice guy, but it has to go between like regular red licorice and Twizzlers. I'm Vines all the way. Drop your thoughts in the comments. I don't really know how to have this argument conversation without anybody here, but I did recently. I have like the snack cabinet is right behind me at my desk at work, and they drop one of those big old tubs of Red Vines behind me, which that has like 400 Red Vines. So every day I probably steal like 3 or 4 of those, which in my opinion is willpower to not eat more. That's a take. The only other candy take I've had recently is a Whopper an old person candy? Because that's like, I think, a top candy of choice. I just went to a movie a couple weeks ago, and you know, they had all the candies laid out. I wanted to get something. I usually sneak candy in, but this time I didn't and decided to just buy at the counter. I went with Whoppers over everything else. I think it's a great candy. I thought it was perfect for the movie. But people are saying it's an old person candy. I don't think I agree. I think it's actually like a top candy. So anyway, sound off in the comments. There's our obligatory Halloween candy debate. Still more Halloween themed things in this episode that I'll get to in a minute. But before we get into too much fantasy talk, Duck Talk, Grateful Dead weekend. Last week, which was honestly a blast. We had a huge tailgate. I know a couple of you guys there, maybe just Rick and Duncan. I think that's everybody from the league that was there, but yeah, really fun tailgate. It was pretty sopping wet. Game was also an insane rainstorm, probably not like quite 2014 or 13 or whatever Cal levels. But I think the closest thing we've had since then, but it was really fun. Actually, it was like, I don't know, everybody knew it was going to be super rainy, so you bring raincoat, whatever. There's definitely a cool vibe when people are like, you know what, I'm just going to deal with the rain and let it happen, and we're all here and in it together. So it was a cool vibe. It was like, I think everybody mostly stayed through shout, and it was honestly pretty dope because like first half rain was like on and off, and then the third quarter the dial was turned up to 10. It was dumping basically the entire third quarter as everybody came from halftime. So it was like, you know, if you're I was wearing like not rain pants and they were soaked by that point. I had like a big long rain jacket that worked, but still, like, your feet are going to get wet, your pants are going to get wet. You know, there's kind of no avoiding it. You just accept it. By the time Shout came about, it was like, they had Ty, I'm sure everybody saw the video, Ty Burrell came out, and everybody was just like super into it, in the sense of, again, you just look around the stadium and you're like, oh, this is so dope. Everybody's just having a good time dealing with the rain. Honestly, the football game itself was like pretty trash, as I'm sure the viewers at home all saw, but, you know, I don't know. That makes it memorable in my mind, because that football game itself would have been like very unmemorable otherwise. Football wise, Ducks, are they good? Are we on fraud alert? Is Dante Moore good? Is our O-line good? Is Will Stein good? I don't really know what's going on. Feels like our defense is probably still what we thought, like solid. We got beat by Indiana. That sucked. But even that game, they were like a little bend, don't break. We got to score points if we're going to want to finish this season with only one loss. Like, it's just not happening. So I don't quite know what's going on. I've heard a few people be like, yeah, you can dismiss that game because, you know, because it was a rainy game and it was always going to be a gross one. And like the over-under, I think, was low anyways. But the reality is, like, it was actually low-key, it was like pretty sunny and nice for the first quarter. And that's when we had like three straight three and outs. And Dante was doing that. Like, Dante to me looked about the same as he did in that Indiana game, where it was like, just doesn't feel like he's seeing things in the pocket. And I said after the Indiana game, it's like, you know, you have to think about how much of that falls on Dante just not being ready for a really good defense, how much of that falls on like Will Stein to be able to give your quarterback answers. I don't really know. I'm not that smart about football. Apparently Jeff Schwartz was on Twitter saying, like, in that Indiana game, like, the O-line played perfectly fine. You know, again, I have no idea, but it's definitely concerning that we seem to get into these like passing down situations. We have absolutely zero answers. The Rutgers game, it felt like we were just like, it was just a ball rolling downhill all game. For whatever reason, every running play went for 24 yards. Every pass play was basically a shot downfield that was had a guy wide open. By the way, I mean, both of those Kenyon Sadiq touchdowns against Rutgers, Dante almost overthrew. This is definitely not an anti-Dante podcast, but just like, it's looked weird the last few weeks. So I'm not really sure. Like, is he not seeing anything because, you know, we maybe don't have as much wide receiver talent as we did last year and they're going up against better DBs? Is it like just play design? Is it, I don't really know, but it's definitely concerning. Dante obviously still has all the talent, but maybe this is like, we're so used to the Bo and Dylan Gabriel guys in there that, I don't know, this is probably what it looks like when you have a quarterback who has played like half a season of experience. Like, he came in more ready than most guys who have only started six games, because he got to sit for a year, he got to learn from Dylan, you know, he's surrounded by a lot of talent, but like, this is probably just what it looks like. So I don't know, there's growing pains somewhere here. I think Dante is going to be great, but it's like, I think the question for all of us as Ducks people is like, is he going to be great this year, or are we maybe looking at more of like a next year thing? So we'll see. I mean, big test this upcoming week. The over-under is like 40 or something like that for Iowa. I'll leave the Iowa preview for whoever does the pod next week. But he like going to have to show something over these last few games. And like, if the offense looks the way that it looked against Indiana, or the way that it looked against even Wisconsin, I know we like opened up the run game a little bit in the second half. I don't think we go through our stretch without losing one to two more games. Like, I road game against Iowa, you know, whatever. And then road game against Washington, those two are going to be really, really hard if we can't score. And we also know USC is going to put up like a few points against us. So got to find it. We'll see if they do. But yeah, weird Ducks week that I think was saved by the fact that it was dumping rain and the Grateful Dead stuff was honestly like really fun and added like a cool element. So we'll go down as a memorable game, but one that probably I hope we look back and go, that was forgettable from the offense, and maybe we look a little bit better coming out of this bye. We didn't last time, so we'll see. Chill. Well, that was Talking Ducks. I'm going to dive into the matchups, but before that, like I said, Halloween-themed episode. I want to do we're a little over halfway through the season at this point. I guess we finished 8 weeks. We have 14 regular season weeks. So I know Rick didn't have a podcast 2 weeks ago. Rick didn't necessarily, he was just a quick lunch pod, so he didn't necessarily allude to like a mid-season rankings or anything. I don't have that, but what I did do is create tiers of teams based on Halloween monsters. So this is, we'll call it the mid-season scary tiers. So I've created four different tiers based on the scariness of various Halloween monsters. These are obviously all personal rankings, so feel free again to jump in the comment section, submit your personal Halloween monster scariness rankings. But I have four different tiers, and I'll get into where each team lies, I think, as we get into the matchup. Save a little suspense. Tier four, so this is the bottom tier. this is the mummy tier. In my mind, mummy, completely overrated and just not scary Halloween monster. Like, think back to any time you've seen mummies in a movie, or like you think about like mummies in Scooby-Doo. Has a mummy ever even caused harm to like a protagonist in a movie? Because I feel like every time I see a mummy, they're like woken up from, right, they're like taken from their crypt, they're woken out of their sleep. I think they just look more like surprised and hapless. Yeah, they like have stiff arms that they put out in front of them. They walk around at you, but what would a mummy even do if it got to you? They don't bite. They don't like, is it fist fight? Do they choke you out with its mummy wraps? Like, I don't understand the point of being scared about a mummy. You don't turn into a mummy if you get bit by a mummy. I don't really know what the mummy thing is all about. To be perfectly honest and transparent, I haven't seen the movie The Mummy with Brendan Fraser, or The Mummy 2. I don't know if that one had Brendan Fraser in it or not. So maybe the mummy in that one's, I'm sure it's scary to some degree, but for what reason? Does that mummy kill anybody? I'd like to know. I just think this is the tier where I go, dude, let's be serious. This thing's not scary. We can all also outrun a mummy. They're so slow every time you see them. There's no sprinting mummies. They do their stiff leg walk. So this is the tier where you go, like, there's no real reason to be afraid of this thing. Even if it like might look scary on the surface, like there's just no real danger. Tier number three is ghost. I get why people think ghosts are scary. The concept of, you know, it being in the room with you, or it shuffling things around. Yeah, like that is scary. You could hear ghost stories of that make you scared of, oh my God, the door handle turned and my back door swung open and there was nobody there. It kind of all feels like tall tales. None of these ghost stories are ever like, yeah, a ghost picked up a knife and stabbed somebody. Like, that's what I'm saying, is a ghost, sure, it could be scary, but you kind of, if somebody says like, oh, I believe in ghosts, or this place is haunted with ghosts, you kind of go like, you're really scared of ghosts? Like, you're really scared of this team? Like, I understand this, this team could like shake things up a little bit, knock things off the shelves, you know, could do some scary things, but like, it's not gonna kill you, right? So that's kind of where this tier is. I think my tier two is a zombie, which I think is like a very scary monster. We've all seen a lot of zombie movies. I think how I'm thinking about a zombie is like, you gotta get to it and take it out before it gets to you. Like, a zombie is obviously capable of doing like insane damage, if it's able to get to you, but you know, it kind of like the mummy, but a little worse. Like, a zombie's not exactly like usually moving as fast as a human. Like, we're smarter than a zombie. You can kill a zombie if you got like the right tools and you get to it before it bites you. But again, a zombie, think of it as a team that like this team is scary as hell and could absolutely take you out, but like, you got to just show up and kill it, right? You got to be the killer here. So it's teams, I think, that are like, you can beat, but you better like bring your A game, because it's going to get you otherwise. And then my tier number one, this is like just a personal choice, witches. So when I was a small child, I had like, my only nightmares I really remember having as a child were all witch based. I don't really know why I started being scared of witches. I feel like I read that Roald Dahl book, The Witches. I'm sure I saw something on TV that felt scary, but like, dude, I was terrified of witches. I would have these dreams where it's like, I'm like in my bedroom. It was almost like a sleep paralysis where I'm like in my own bedroom, arms pinned down, and there's a witch and she's like coming to get me. And she's got like these big nasty fingernails that she's like doing her little witch cackle and rubbing them across my face. I get it. Not everybody's going to think a witch is this terrifying, but like, the way that I would classify these tier one scary teams is like, these are the teams that you have nightmares about, right? You have nightmares thinking about what these teams are going to do to you. So that's how I would classify these teams. It's like nightmare inducing. You might wake up in a sweat thinking about your matchup this upcoming week if you're playing one of these teams. So, we'll get into the matchups. I'll assign one of these monsters to each of the teams. And this is also like, for what it's worth, these tiers are going to be based on like season long outlook rather than any, than like this individual week 9, because I'll make some picks for week 9 as well. We'll see how quickly we can get through this. Cool. Well, I'm going to start with myself, Johnny Eugene. Let's not start there. I have a reason why I'm not going to do that. I'm going to start with George Kittle versus Cape Kwandale Robinson. So Luke, 6-2, currently is tied for first place in the league, playing against Cape Kwandale Robinson. Tim, sadly, 2-6, sits in 11th place, just one game ahead of Pip currently. These teams have had some players go. Tim got a great day out of Lamar Jackson. No rushing touchdowns, but did score 25.5 points in Thursday Night Football. Modest hookup with Zay Flowers. Sadly, not one of Lamar's four passing touchdowns went to Zay. So Zay got Tim 8.9 points. And on the other side, Luke had one player going in Thursday Night Football. Devon Achane scored 13.6 points. A good performance, but the touchdownless Dolphins, that certainly could have been a much bigger number had that offense moved the ball a little bit better and been able to finish out drives. Let's start on the Tim side of things. Sadly, I have Tim in the mummy tier. I think that probably comes as no surprise. The way that this team is currently sitting, just not a team that you're very scared of. I mean, look, like, the way that these tiers break out and the way that all of our teams are set up, that doesn't mean Tim doesn't have any scary pieces. It doesn't mean that he's going to lose in the toilet bracket, but he's got Lamar, he's got I don't know, a couple wide receivers that can do damage, but yeah, it's just not looking very good. I think Tim really is needing Omarion Hampton to come back to have a little bit of a better shot when the consolation bracket comes around. Cause yeah, I like none of his players are particularly scary, as it stands right now outside of Lamar and the eventual Omarion Hampton. Yeah, Tim, I mean, you know, I think we all know the story. I think the great thing Tim has, he has some running backs who can definitely score touchdowns for him and just generally points, in a time where not a lot of teams in the league have a great stable of running backs. So props to Tim. He's got four startable running backs right now with Hampton, as I mentioned, currently sitting on his bench. He's waiting for him to come off IR, hopefully in the next few weeks. But yeah, Tim, I mean, look, this game's definitely not out of reach for him, this matchup against Luke. I think kind of boosted by the Zach Charbonnet kind of taking over some of that Seattle backfield work. Maybe we'll see out of the bye. And I think Tim's like big hope this week is, can Trevion Henderson be the guy with, it sounds like, what's his face? Ramondre Stevenson is not going to play. So yeah, who knows? I mean, yeah, Tim needed that good performance from Lamar. You know, would have been really feeling better if Zay could have gotten one of those touchdowns. I think Tim's team just starts to kind of thin out when you look at the, like, he's starting Hollywood Brown, who scored 0 points at receiver last week. You know, with Rashee Rice back, he's pretty much out of the mix. Evan Engram, just a fine player. And then Jordan Mason, you know, like I said, decent play, could score a touchdown, could score two, but sharing work with Aaron Jones means just the upside here is a little bit limited. You just don't look at any of these players and say huge upside, except for maybe, again, like Henderson may be the guy, and T. Higgins could certainly have a big day any time. So I don't know. I don't think Tim's going to put up a terrible performance this week, honestly, but it's just a question of can it be enough to beat Luke. On Luke's side, I have Luke as a witch. You know, I probably, as it stands right now, I wouldn't rank Luke as the best team in the league necessarily. I think there are actually probably a few more questions about this team than anyone might be willing to admit. But, you know, top to bottom, like when he is at full health, this is still certainly one of the scariest teams in the league. I think he's got a few weak spots for sure in his depth, but like, there's just simply no denying that the like his top two running backs with Achane and Cook paired with Rashee Rice being a monster is like, I don't think anybody, I think you could easily have nightmares about what those guys could and might do to you. Plenty of depth after that when you think about a Nico Collins. You know, he's getting Ricky Pearsall back maybe at some point. We'll see if Bill Merritt, Karoski Merritt, ends up being a guy. Hasn't been producing that well. Don't think this is any surprise to folks that Luke is up here. He's a witch. He might not be the head witch, but he's and maybe not as good as we thought this team might look if Bill had his breakout and if JMO was a guy. But like, just hard to deny. Luke's got the Drake May. He's got Brock Purdy as a backup option. It's just good. You know, not too much, I think, in my mind to say about this matchup. Maybe the one, like, interesting spot I see, both these teams have a running back going in Sunday Night Football, that Washington-Seattle game. Maybe if Tim gets, like, a gigantic Charbonnet performance and Karoski Merritt flops again, that's where we might see, like, oh, man, this could be a closer matchup than I think their records or, you know, where I'm putting them tier-wise might suggest. But, yeah, I think it's just hard right now to not pick Luke in this one. I think he just has enough big-time players to get it done. You know, Rashee might be an explosion spot in that Buffalo game with a gigantic point total. So we'll see. And James Cook on the other side of that too. So, like, just points are there for him. Taking Luke – But I think this could be like sneaky, a close-ish one. So, you know, give me Luke by like 12 points or something. Maybe less. Should be fun. Let's move on to our next matchup. Let's go with, I think myself versus Rick. Johnny Eugene, myself sits at 4-4. Currently in ninth place, low scoring team out of all the 4-4 teams. Rick, just a little better, 4-4 in eighth place out of all the 4-4 teams. So I think this is a really, really gigantic matchup in the sense that the two of us probably are going to be out of the running for that like number six high points scoring spot, unless all the high scorers are concentrated in the top five teams. So two teams who really just need a win. 4-5 could be a really, really difficult hill to climb to get to fifth place, whoever lands there. So gigantic, gigantic matchup. We'll start with the Rick side of this. I'm not going to talk about the projections because currently Kyler's projected for zero. It seems like he might not play. Anyways, I've got Rick on the Ghost, in the Ghost tier, so tier three team. Again, I think it's like, I can understand how you would be scared of Rick's team, but, you know, I think it's probably a little silly to be like absolutely terrified. I don't think that he's striking fear in most people's hearts a majority of the weeks. You know, Rick, the story of Rick's team is a pretty obvious one. At this stage, it's two insane running backs, and can he find production out of his very inconsistent wide receiver and flex group? I mean, that's just, it's pretty simple right now. As mentioned, Rick has Kyler Murray in his quarterback slot right now, a juicy, juicy Monday night matchup at Dallas, playing against that defense, coming off a bye, you know, playing with a roof, like that is as sweet of a spot as you can get. But reports said that Kyler was practicing with the twos today, and it seems like they might be preparing to start Jacoby Brissett, who's played pretty well for Arizona, I think. So maybe they give Kyler another week. Weird situation in Arizona. You wonder how long Murray is going to be around there. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, so that's just like a really big kind of hinge point for this matchup. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, what do you say about Rick's team? I think there's a couple like, I don't know, there's a couple like sneaky good plays here. I mentioned that Buffalo-Kansas City game, Khalil Shakir being a part of that. He's been low-key kind of balling out. So who knows? I mean, Shakir scored a big long touchdown last week, could easily do it again. That's a guy who in this type of shootout, you know, comfortably could see him 8 catches on 10 targets. I don't know. And then the one other thing I was going to say, same thing, that matchup, Kareem Hunt, Pacheco hurt. Like that might be the guy. I think Kansas City is going to air it out a lot, but like he's their go-to goal line running back. They don't do tush push shit. So that I just like wouldn't be shocked if Kareem Hunt has 26 yards and 2 touchdowns. And I'm like really, really pissed off watching that game. So yeah, we'll see. And then it's a lot of boom bust for Rick outside of that. I mean, Adunze up and down, that could be a smash spot against Cincinnati, but I don't know. That team's weird. And then Christian Watson and Trey Tucker, the guys is like, yeah, maybe, or maybe not. Who knows? But of course, you know, ghost wise, I'm definitely going to be hearing and feeling the presence of Bijan and Josh Jacobs in my house. So pretty scary, but yeah, jumping over to my side, I also put myself in the ghost tier. Definitely like, it's just been such a deflating season at times that I, part of me thought maybe I would belong in the mummy tier, but I do think there's like, similar to ghosts, there's some people who are going to be scared looking at my team. And I think for good reason, like, the nice thing this week, at least, is we might see this might be the first week where I like, since week one, I guess, where I have like a real chance to see the actualized version of my studs and duds strategy. Hopefully my, like the studs portion of that, I finally have all four of these guys healthy with Allen, Henry, Chase, and Brock Bowers. The Bowers thing, man, we'll see. Like, they're coming out of the bye. He's supposed to be healthy now. They sat him for a couple more weeks than they needed to. That offense is so ass. I'm not positive it even matters, but at least I have a fucking fighting chance, you know? Yeah. So we'll see. I think I've been going back to this a lot, but like, I just think this is going to be the case for a lot of matchups this week, and maybe especially the two we just talked about. That KC Buffalo game is going to be so fun, and especially for me and Rick. I mentioned Rick has Khalil Shakir and Kareem Hunt. I have Josh Allen and Xavier Worthy, which, like, hey, I could see a world where both of those guys have, like, complete bomb games. You know, it's going to be a lot of throwing the football. That's how it goes in these Allen Mahomes matchups. So that's going to be extremely fun, or terrible or something. We'll see. But yeah, I'm gonna have a good time watching that. What else am I supposed to say about my team? Like, Ja'Marr Chase, somehow Joe Flacco has been the best thing possible for him. That has pretty much ruled. It's the best having him. So, you know, I've just been trying to fill the pieces around it. Rest of the season, I don't know. Maybe if Tony Pollard gets traded to the Chiefs, I can maybe make a real run at the playoffs or something. But yeah, just trying to find like the small, like, kind of solid pieces to fill my roster around those big studs. So Derrick Henry, I forgot to mention, I had players go last night. Derrick Henry, 12.6 points. Honestly, like, a lot of garbage time. Kind of bald, but fucking had three touchdowns to tight ends, which really made me mad. And then Malik Washington, 5.6 points. That also pissed me off because he had a fumble, and it's like, that's the only thing I need. These, like, all you want with these, like, secondary players is, like, dude, if you score, like, 8 points, I'm fine with that. And he would have had about 8 points, but he just decided that he had to fumble the ball. So that's pretty annoying. But, yeah, man, Henry definitely is not going to – that performance isn't going to win me the game. So need two or three of my other studs to ball out. Please, Brock Bowers, save my season. I think this week – this is such a cop-out, but I think if Kyler Murray's sitting, I think I'm picking myself. If Kyler plays, I reserve the right to change my pick to Rick. Just like, Rick's going to be subbing in Trevor Lawrence, who, you know, could have a big game, but like, we just saw Travis Hunter's out for the season, so who knows. Yeah, I'll say hinges on Kyler, but sounds like no Kyler, and I think I like my studs enough, especially in that Buffalo KC game. This is going to be a really, really close matchup. So it's going to be probably not fun for me on Sunday, just like every other Sunday. Moving on. Next matchup is, we'll go Coos Bay, Pip versus Portland Sutton Brandon. Coos Bay, I mentioned this earlier, 1-7, 12th place, been a nightmare season for Pip. On the other side, Brandon sits at 5-3. Brandon is currently in third place behind the couple of 6-2 fellows we have in the league. Start with Brandon. Let's just get this one out of the way. Brandon's a witch. This is a scary-ass team, and I could not believe my eyes when I looked in our fantasy app and saw Brandon is projected for 147 points. Straight up, that just does not happen. when I'm like playing somebody and if they're projected like 126, I'm like, damn, that's like a pretty high total. I think most of us are projected between like the 110 to 120 range, maybe 105 to 120 range. 147 as a projection is like unbelievable. He is just so freaking loaded. It's crazy. Just has like some of the best players at every single position across the board. Like, I'm not positive there's a single running back that he would trade either Jonathan Taylor or Jahmyr Gibbs for. That's pretty crazy. Kamani Vidal is like, I think consensus wise, probably like top 10 player this week against Tennessee. Until Omarion comes back, he's going to be up there. And then Brandon looking to take advantage of that Dallas matchup has Bam Knight, who seems to be the incumbent starter for Arizona while he waits for Trey Benson to come back. Dude, I mean, it's just too good. Wide receivers still like very, I would say good, not great. Just given like DJ Moore is not like a stud, but I don't know, man. Olave has been good. If Shuck is fine, then this team is just so, so damn good. He also has a note for this week. He has Trey McBride playing in that Dallas matchup. McBride, I think, has scored. Oh, there's something funny about his touchdowns. When is he? Yeah, I think he's played with Jacoby the last 2 weeks, I believe, is when Brissett's been playing. Has 3 touchdowns in his last 2 games. In the first 6 games before that, playing with Kyler, he had 1 touchdown. So might be better off if Brissett's playing. Yeah, this team's going to score a lot of points. Mahomes in that big matchup. Come on, man. Pip side, Pip, I have as a mummy as well. Kind of similar to some of the things I said about Tim, but like I think maybe even more so for Pip. Like, doesn't mean this team is not kind of scary to look at. He's got some good pieces, and I actually think he's better. Like, this roster is for sure better than 1-7 would lead you to believe, but you just have to put him in the mummy category because it's just not a. It's just not a team that strikes fear in you right now. The only players that strike fear are like Jaden Daniels and probably Drake London are the only two like guys who you could probably argue are, you know, top elite guys at their position. But, you know, he has the, I really like Chase Brown. I really like Rico Dowdle. You know, he's got some guys that could certainly put up points. And yeah, I think he's actually going to push Brandon a little bit this week. You know, Kyle Manungai now projected 14.6 points with DeAndre Swift out. That's pretty great. Pip picked up De'Ami Brown as just like a flyer for Jacksonville with Travis Hunter out. So like, we'll see. But it's insane. Yeah, like Pip has even had the benefit of Manungai's projection being bumped up to 14.6. That Swift news. And even Juwan Jennings is projected for probably like more points than he's gotten most games. He's projected 11.2 points. And Jaden Daniels is playing. All of that being said, I'm saying like Pip's got like a few good things going for him, projections wise, and he still is projected 37 points less than Brandon, which is completely bonkers. So got to go with Brandon in this one. I just like, I think Pip might put up a total that would beat some or a decent amount of teams this week, but not going to beat Brandon. Boy, that team is scary. And as I mentioned, like as a witch, I think you should be seeing this team in your nightmares. I'm sure a lot of people are having PTSD dreams in this league of Jonathan Taylor scoring 3 touchdowns against them. So yeah. Okay, let's go Neil Falls start versus Heath Spiller Hall. We'll start, what do we want to do? Mike Neil Falls start 3-5, currently sits in 10th place. Really, really an interesting one. Sits in 10th as the only 3-5 team behind the aforementioned 4-4s. There's a big old swath of those, including Jared, who sits at 4-4. And I believe, try to look this up. I think Jared's either the highest or second highest scoring 4-4 team. Yes. Jared is ranked 5th currently, but is the highest scoring team out of all those 4-4. That's why he has the tiebreaker. Jared has outscored Duncan, who's ahead of him, and has outscored Andrew also, who is ahead of him, which is really interesting. Outscored those two by quite a bit, actually by 60 and 80 points. We'll start on the Jared side of things. I've got Jared as a zombie. I think this is a team you should definitely be scared and aware of. And yeah, you're gonna have to bring it to beat Jared. He's pulled together like a sneaky pretty good team. I mean, there's some, like, I don't want to say like holes on his team, because he doesn't really have holes, which is huge. Like a lot of teams in this league have holes, but you know, there's some players that have been less than inspiring for him this year. I think, you know, the like Kamara, he benched Kamara, and then he's had like the weird like Devontae Smith's been up and down thing. But overall, like, I think this season is going, at least points wise. Jared's probably mad to be 4-4, but like in terms of the way some of his draft picks have shaken out, like, it's probably about as good as you could have hoped for most of these dudes. Jared almost found himself in quarterback hell. He's the Justin Fields guy, which would have been really bad if he hadn't picked up Daniel Jones, who is QB, I wonder what he is on the year, QB4. That's crazy. Hey, that's Daniel Jones. Yeah, man, that's wild. I think Christian McCaffrey, I mentioned it with Brandon's team, like, would you trade Gibbs or Taylor for anybody? If there is somebody, it's probably C-Mac. C-Mac, wide receiver, running back 2 on the year. Yeah, probably wide receiver 8 or something. He, a lot of receiving work, projected 23 points. That's hilarious. Just has worked out. I mean, healthy, focal point of the offense. They have nobody else. You know, what a player. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what else to say too much about Jared's team. I think some interesting starts. He's kind of taken swings on 2 up-and-coming young running backs with Breshard Smith and RJ Harvey, as I mentioned, playing both of them, with Alvin Kamara sitting on his bench. Kamara playing against a really, really difficult Rams team. Get why he's doing it. And yeah, I mean, Jared's just got a good team. Devontae Smith on a bye definitely doesn't help him. He's having to start Darnell Mooney, who did nothing last week. So I think that's not a particularly strong point for him. But I don't know. I think Jared's probably hoping, you know, out of his running non-CMC running backs, he's probably hoping one or two of them show themselves as, you know, viable options to start for the rest of the year, whether it's a Kamara bounce back or like a Harvey breakout or whatever. So otherwise, Jared's got the squad. I mean, the receivers are like probably not the best in the league, but they, you know, they're like big touchdown scoring machines with Adams and McMillan and Devontae when he's other Devontae when he's back. So I don't know. Great team. Tight ends are sick. Just a really solid team. Again, like, I think of it more as a zombie where you're not like having nightmares about this, but you're going to have to show up with your best shot against Jared. On Mike's side, as I mentioned, 3-5 sits in 10th place, but I also have Mike as a zombie. I think Mike had a huge bye week issue last week, which did not help him much. God, I forget who he lost to. Great hosting, Jordan. Chill. Give me 1 second. Let's see who he lost to. Oh, he lost to Brandon. So Brandon put up 149. It's like Mike had like 4 of his top players on bye plus Bucky hurt, and still put up 120. Wasn't going to beat Brandon probably no matter what. So, you know, whatever, take your lumps with your byes. Yeah, I think Mike's team is kind of sick. The only problem that I think you could see is like Mike's team basically from the tippy top to the very bottom of his roster is good players, like very good players. But none of them have been elite. He doesn't have, like, you can't point to an elite player. I mean, shit, like Dak is probably the closest thing. Let's see. Dak's the eighth ranked quarterback. Genty's been fine, but that offense is capped. Kyron's like a borderline RB1, good player, but not that explosive. And then you think about the like Marvin Harrison, Jalen Waddle, Stephon Diggs, Brian Thomas. These are all guys that like we all would, I think, love to have in our lineup. But are you like really terrified of these guys? Do you feel comfortable that they have a good chance of putting up a 20 spot? Probably not. So it's just a matter of like, I don't know. Mike is Mike is scary, but you can beat him with a big week because, you know, these have been like good, not great players. I don't know. Mike's definitely a team where you could see this team going like on a run and making it into the playoffs and from a tough 3-5 spot and maybe even, I don't know, making a run in the playoffs. Like, this is a good team, but he's just like, doesn't have any of those players where you're like, oh my God, they have like that extra gear. The way that on Jared's side, like a CMC could just blow up. So yeah, Mike has the only player that's played. He got a respectable 11.2 points out of Jalen Waddle last night. Not a bad showing given how the Dolphins played. You know, I don't know. No like crazy good, bad matchups. Kelce against Buffalo, definitely. Maybe this is me thinking of like the 2021 playoffs, but it definitely feels like a spot where Travis Kelce would score a touchdown. So I don't know, man. I sort of think, what are the projections looking like? Wow, 120 to 118. Mike has a small advantage. You know, I think I like Mike in this one. Like I said, I think this is the type of team that can make a run. He's back to pretty healthy sans Bucky and not on bye. I just think Jared's like trying to figure out a little bit of what to do at running back with some of these weird starts. And like, I just don't quite trust that like Harvey, Burchard, Darnell, like one of those guys is going to tank Jared's lineup. Whereas like, I don't know that any of these players on Mike's side are going to tank him. So I got to go Mike this week. I like Mike to begin his hopeful push to be a playoff team. Good luck to those guys this week. What do we got? Couple more matchups. Yeah, let's see. Let's go with, yeah, let's do this. Dallas Cowboys, Scott versus Kenny CD, Willamette, Duncan. Scott, 4-4. He's in seventh place. Kind of middle of that pack in terms of the 4-4 teams go. Whereas Duncan sits at 5-3. The lesser of the two 5-3 teams scoring wise, he is a lower scoring team than Brandon. So sits in fourth. Pretty solid. Duncan, let's start on his side. Maybe a surprising one, but I've got Duncan as a witch. I've got Duncan in tier one. I could see an argument against this, but I just think he is a really terrifying team on so many different levels that it's hard for me to keep him off of that part of the list. And I say that just because, I don't know, man, you look at his lineup and there are absolutely some holes. There's some issues, but I would be terrified to go up against Puka Nacua or Jackson Smith and Jigba this season. Like, those seem to be the two guys, you know, probably those two guys and like Ja'Marr Chase, have been, I think, the wide receivers of the season. A few other guys have been up there, but I don't know, man. When you think about the guys who are like just dropping nukes on you, it's been those two guys have been right up there. So I'm not sure there's like a more scary duo than that. And obviously Justin Jefferson is still terrifying. Who the fuck knows what's going on in Minnesota? But like, I have a hard time not being terrified if I'm playing against a Duncan team with all of those guys healthy off their byes. I played Duncan without basically any of those guys. He had Justin Jefferson, but he had Puka on bye and JSN on bye. It was the only reason that I beat him for sure last week. I just like would not want to be playing against them. So I think too, like, I realize that Duncan's running back room is a problem, but like, Jaylen Warren is sneaky, an underrated guy that is like much better than a lot of guys in other teams' RB1, RB2 spots. And his sneaky play is Tyjae Spears. If Tony Pollard gets traded, which is somewhat expected, then like that's a dude at least. Like, you're pretty okay with that. I think Warren, Montgomery, and Spears, like, you can just get enough out of those guys that you're perfectly happy. For this week, you know, I don't even really want to talk about, like, the matchups or anything. With those type of studs, like, they could just go off against any team, good, bad, ugly, whatever. The one that I do want to talk about is Duncan has had a problem at quarterback. That's been, I think, one of his kind of Achilles heels. He's had, like, the solid Matt Stafford production, but this week he is starting Caleb Williams against Cincinnati. I just think that's a probable smash spot. Like, since he is so freaking bad, if Justin Fields could put up the kind of performance they put up last week, I mean, I don't know. Look out. Anybody is liable to go off. High point total. Chicago's supposed to win that game. They're going to need to put up points because the Bengals are capable of putting up points. So, like, and also no DeAndre Swift to probably steal the rushing touchdowns. Like, I don't know. This could just be a pretty nuclear week for Caleb. So that's a little spooky. On the other side of things, Scott. I got Scott as a ghost. And I don't know, man. Like, Scott's team is actually, like, pretty good. It is pretty good. I think he's probably haunted by the ghosts of Malik Nabers and Tyreek Hill. Like, this team would actually be pretty sick if he had those guys. But, man, it's just, like, the RB depth is continuing to be a little bit of an issue for Scott, and that's kind of rearing its head this week with Ramondre sitting. I know this is, like, a long-term outlook, but I still have him as tier three. It's just, like, I don't know. It's going to be hard to survive those, like, any week where those guys are on bye or hurt. Javonte is legit RB1. That's awesome. But, yeah, man, I just don't quite think the depth is there enough. The guys that terrify you on this team are Justin Herbert, Lat McConkey, and Javonte. Outside of that, some good pieces, some bad. I just think it's, like, a team that you're not truly, truly terrified of. And yeah, it's a good team though. I don't know. He's scraped by. Like, this is a totally okay team. I don't really have that much to say about it. Like, the Javonte game against Arizona needs a big one. I don't even know what he's going to do at his other RB spot. I guess it's Brian Robinson who, like, doesn't do anything. So it's going to be pretty difficult for me to pick Scott this week. Projections are 134 to 110 Duncan. Kind of like I was talking about Brandon, like, that 134 number is high, man. This is why I have Duncan up there as a tier one team. He's got players, and yeah, Scott's got some stuff, but there's just a few too many issues this week that I think he's not going to be able to fix in time to beat Duncan. And yeah, I think Duncan starts to really creep towards that top tier now that he's through all of his big bye weeks. I'd say look out. Pretty spooky team there. And lastly, I have got... Bro, my Wi-Fi is not working. Come on. I'll look on my phone. I know it's Slater Lake, Andrew, versus somebody. Who have we not talked about? It's got to be Fronick, right? Yeah, we've got Slater Lake, Andrew, who sits at, good God, 6-2, versus Crater Drake, London, Fronick, who sits at 107. Yeah, I'm going to start with Fronick. You know what? I had Fronick as a zombie as I initially wrote it down, but I think I have to bump Fronick down to a ghost. And it's hard to do because I'm like, Fronick does have some scary players, and like, I wouldn't be thrilled about the idea of playing him any given week. He's good. It's a really good team, but like, I just think, I can't trust this team to win a bunch of games in a row. And
So yeah, I mean, that tier two could make sense for him because it's like, yeah, you gotta get to him before he gets to you. But like, I just think there's going to be a week where some of his big stars are invisible, and that's the ghost comparison I'm making. How's that? Yeah, he got some pretty bad news today that Travis Hunter is probably going to miss the rest of the season. Certainly the rest of the regular season. It sounds like that's just a tough one to swallow. That was like really a breakout player who was one of the reasons I think why Fronek might be believing he had something this season. But yeah, man, I mean, he's got a good team. It's just, I don't know. You just like, you can just feel what this Fronek team is, which is like, sometimes he's going to put up 140 against you. And sometimes these big star names that he has, are just not going to show up. So like, yeah, like a ghost, he can strike fear, but like, I just don't think he's going to be able to, like wipe out three teams in a row in the playoffs. It's the same problem as before. It's just like, it's the AJ Browns who can disappear. It's the Breece Halls he's fucking awesome, but he can disappear. And he just doesn't quite have the like running backs in depth, I think, outside of those two, with no Travis Hunter. Like, yeah, when all of your stars are guys who can also just put up like zeros, it's just, you're just like putting yourself in a precarious situation. So I don't know, man. I thought I was going to have him a little bit higher, but I think I just got to bump him down. That news stinks. And yeah, I don't know. He's set up to have a decent week this week. Fronek is, let's see, he's up 12-0. He had Ravens defense last night. Great play. Woody Marks has been dealing with a, I don't know, like a hamstring issue or something. He's got a bunch of guys on bye. AJ Brown, Breece Hall, Jalen Hurts, Garrett Wilson, arguably all of his best players. But, you know, still like a respectable lineup in there. Yeah, man, I don't know. He had to pick up Parker Washington. He's playing Jamari DK. There's just like a lot of Ken Walker. I mentioned it earlier. It's like, is he a guy? Nobody knows. So there's just a lot of question marks this week for Fronek. It's going to need a lot of things to hit correctly. On the other side, Andrew, I think maybe one of the bigger shockers in my mind, I have Andrew as a zombie. I think I'm moving him for the time being into a tier two team. And my reasoning why is he is a team who I think is terrifying, super scary, but are you actually having nightmares about this like version of the team? As I look at it, like all of the things that I think 2 weeks ago, I probably would have said, yes, like I'm having the most nightmares about going against this team. This is a really, really, really good team. But it probably begs the question at this point, like, does he have an elite guy? Amon-Ra St. Brown is an elite guy, but outside of that, I'm just not sure. Like, he's obviously pretty weak at like quarterback and tight end. That's fine. He's got passable guys there, but like, I think we have all loved Andrew's team because he's got very good players top to bottom. I think that's awesome. Like, he's going to make the playoffs. He's maybe going to get a bye, and he's going to probably make some noise in the playoffs. But I just don't know if he's like at that level where you have like total nightmares. This is not like the Puka JSN Justin Jefferson type team. I think the reason I say that too is like actually because of a couple unfortunate developments in the last like week or so for Andrew. What's happened is like, you think about who even could be elite outside of Amon-Ra. Saquon has had a pretty middling season, had a very good game last week, but got injured. So like, what's that going to look like? I don't know. He's a guy who's had a lot of carries. Emeka Egbuka, really interesting one. Since his hamstring injury, he's been, honestly, he's had like, I think less receiving yards than Tez the last 2 weeks, or less production, I guess, than Tez and some of these other Bucks receivers. I like, he's still obviously the Bucks receiver to own, but was reading some stuff online about how he's basically been moved to like an outside role, and Tez and Sterling Shepard are playing in the slot more, which has like stopped giving him quite as many layup targets and whatever. So I don't know, with no Mike Evans, it's just like, what is his role exactly? It's just, it's a little tougher. And then Quinshon Judkins, I was thinking was going to be like a league winner for him, but I don't know, man, he got injured last week. And that Browns offense is bad. I still think that's going to be like one of his best guys to lean on, but elite, like, I don't know. We'll see how that injury looks. I'm less worried about Quinshon relative to like his expectations than the, like, I think the Barkley and Ibuka you start, or you're really going like, dude, I don't know if those guys are like for sure the elite dudes we hoped. Even DeAndre Swift, that's injury prone guy. And it's sort of is happening. The DeAndre Swiftening is happening. Seemed like it might be a real change for him, but maybe it's not. So whatever, that those are all just like long-term considerations for Andrew. That being said, like I still love this team. I really do. I think any given week he should beat most teams. And I think I like him this week. This is a little bit more indicative of like the problems that Fronik is having. Andrew has a lot of buys happening. You know, whoever I said, he's missing Ibuka, Barkley, Quinshon, Swift, all the guys who were like wondering what's going to happen to them. And Andrew still has like a sick ass lineup. So, that's what we love about his team. This is a team that is set up to really like earn himself a bye in the regular season just because of all this depth and how rock solid he is from top to bottom. But this is just a good team. I expect he'll put up respectable numbers, and unless Fronik like really hits on some of these like Parker Washington plays and, you know, Juwan Johnson and DK and these like really question marky guys, you gotta go over $120, I think, to expect to have any shot to beat an Andrew team. So that's what I expect to see out of Andrew. I think Fronik's not going to have enough to overcome it. I think Andrew puts up another good week and moves to 7-2. He really could use another step towards a bye week. A few question marks about Andrew's team, but you know, I might look stupid saying this 2 weeks from now when Saquon starts ripping things off in November. So who knows? Yeah, that's all I got. Happy Halloween. Definitely tried to keep this half an hour. Definitely has been an hour, so that's great. But I didn't really have that much work to do today anyway, so hope everybody enjoys their Halloweens. Best of luck in your matchups, and maybe we'll get like a real podcast next week. Maybe we won't. We'll see. All right, guys. Bye.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble abodes to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun.